From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 24th day of May, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll talk about the MFP payments and prevented planting. They're supposed to be separate decisions. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue said that earlier today. However, maybe not, according to Gary Schnitke. I'll play for you part of an interview that you'll hear in total on Monday during the Closing Market Report. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast today with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. And you'll hear the beginning, if you can stay with us, of the Commodity Week program and all of that program, or at least most of it, if you can stay with us all the way through the hour here on Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, to take a look at the what happened in Chicago for the day. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. It was kind of an interesting day there in Chicago. I didn't really pay attention. I've been so busy to what had happened.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, Todd. I think we can start to put the pieces of the puzzle together that this wheat-led rally, and it was wheat-led this week by about 0.1%. The soft red wheat up 5.5% on the week, followed by the corn, Dease corn up 5.4% on the week, and beans in the November contract up 1%. So on a new crop basis, wheat led the show. And I think nowadays with the way this market is, when the wheat looks at the currencies and wheat is very much like a crude oil type market in terms of factoring in macro fundamentals and trade fundamentals, I think this week we can stand back and say this was a fund-led rally, whether it was short covering and getting out of short positions by the managed money funds or whether they actually went a little bit net long now. To have the wheat lead us when you had negative U.S.-China news, you had crop quality issues being discussed in the wheat, which typically makes wheat more of a feed grain and more of a competitor with corn. And then you also had the Federal Reserve come out with indicating maybe a weakened inflation pace here going into the last part of the year. I think it was pretty impressive, and I think it's very good consolation for the corn market in particular as we head through this weather market that we have some support underneath us.
So why do we think wheat actually, I mean, other than it was fund led, what were they buying on? Do we know?
Yeah, I think where we found the turn was a week ago before the crop progress report. And obviously the spring wheat planting is a small part of it, but we had a big jump in good to excellent conditions in winter wheat on Monday's crop progress report. But the trade did not care about that. Instead, they really looked, I think, at the improving trade picture, the improvement between Japan and Europe and Mexico and Canada, that the Trump administration made a strategic shift to take only on China as we go through the trade. I think the other thing is that the USDA expectations or the data that USDA has been putting out, the funds no longer trust as much. And it'll be interesting to see how much the algorithmic traders can rely upon the computers from now on and how they make adjustments from now on. So it'll be one of the summers, you know, because this has been the first time in quite some time we've seen the algorithmic traders get caught on the wrong side. I'll be taking a lot of notes throughout the summer.
How unusual is it to have a rally before a three-day weekend, or at least a rally like this?
It didn't used to be, but that kind of goes to my earlier point. The last 3 or 4 years, it's been uncommon to have a rally as opposed to profit-taking and a break to the downside. We used to put premium into the market when we had a three-day weekend for Memorial Day. And by the way, thank you to all the service members and those who gave up their lives for us. But we used to have those types of rally markets before the July 4th holiday and the Memorial Day holiday. We've had them less and less, in part because of this data-driven mindset.
What else do we need to talk about? Cattle and feed report came out today.
Yeah, I think we got some necessary positive fundamentals. We had a very slow start to the grilling season because of the wet spring that we've had. And so what's been good for the goose has not been good for the feeders and the fats. We also heard last night that China is working on an African swine fever vaccine. So I think there's two big elements that came into the hog markets then pushed them down to lower closes today. One being the Chinese-U.S. trade negotiations going south in a pretty big way rhetorically. And then this vaccine that China is supposedly working on, this coming from the South China Morning Post. So cattle needed some positive fundamentals given the grilling season, slow kickoff, and the hogs looking really, really weak and breaking down technically. We got that in the placements, 108.7%, very low end of the trade range. And the highest trade guess was 119. So it was a pretty outright price-friendly placements figure, if you ask me, Todd. And I think this is where those cyclone bombs really showed up because those happened right in the calving season. Marketing is also on the top end of the range, nice for fat cattle. On feed May 1 at 102.2 comes in on the very low end of the range as well. So that also helps the feeders. And we did see the feeder cattle index jump $3 today. And so I think we're on trajectory now for very well-supported cattle prices led by the feeders. We're going to watch the corn market and we're going to watch the hogs when it comes to the fat cattle market. But I'll be a buyer of feeders here in the next few days.
On the weather side of things, since you mentioned the bomb cyclones, let's come back to that. But through this planting season, what are the expectations for the Tuesday USDA weekly crop progress report?
Since we're gaining a day, I'll go up to 70% on corn and go up to almost 40% on beans since we're gaining an extra day. I'm glad you brought that up because what my elasticity chart would suggest on the corn at this point is that yesterday when we were trading 390 in July corn, we were still above a 2 billion bushel corn carryover. By going to 405 today, we're now at about a 1.9 billion bushel corn carryover. So the trade is finally moving and progressing to cutting the acreage and probably also maybe cutting some yield as well. So we're on our way. And if the weather stays wet, and a couple big forecasters are suggesting it's going to dry out in 7 or 8 days, but if we stay wet, I think we could be on track to be like 93, where we lose about 3.5% of the acres. We essentially go from 92.8 down to 89.5 when it's all said and done.
Hold on. So what did you say you had your number at for corn planted?
What I was talking about on the being like 1993.
For the weekly what crop progress report.
Oh, my weekly crop. We came in at 49
last week.
This past week, I could push it up to 70. I think we could make, I essentially think we could make a 20% gain nationwide because we're gaining an extra day with USDA coming out Monday afternoon, right? Tuesday afternoon.
Okay. I thought that's what you said, and I wanted to make sure that I just wasn't not paying attention. So that happens. I guess that happens. That's funny, isn't it? Oh, my gosh, what are producers asking you most often today?
Well, obviously that market facilitation program is still a real issue for crop insurance, prevent plant. That was the biggest call I took. The other thing was producers who are literally stuck with not getting anything planted, wanting a pullback, wanting to find out when they can come back in. I told them just resolutely, look next week at this week's lows, 404.5 corn, 843 and 3/4 beans. You take those out on a closing basis, that's not a good sign technically, and we still want to watch those technicals.
Yeah, so the technicals, yesterday had a bad day. Did that all get reversed today?
Well, it did in the wheat, but I would say in the corn, no. We held the support levels on all three of those daily charts, but I would say you're still extremely overbought and you still have some gaps below the market in some of these charts. So that's why I like this current week's lows going into next week as a good kind of measuring stick.
Hey, and yesterday you were on the Commodity Week program. John Newton, who is the chief ag economist for AFBF, the American Farm Bureau Federation, was with us along with Merrill Crowley and Elaine Cubb. That was a good program. Thanks for doing that. That'll come up later today. Anything that you recall from that you want to make sure that everybody knows about?
I think it goes back to the money in the facilitation program that we can get in July and utilizing that when it comes to hedging. I think we missed the boat the last time around with getting some bean hedges in place in particular. And, you know, thanks for bringing that up.
Hey, thanks so much. And you have a very good Memorial Day.
Hey, I couldn't be on Commodity Week if you didn't invite me. Thanks for everything, Todd.
Well, you're welcome.
All righty. Take care, sir.
That's Mike Zuzulo. He is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Well, as you know, the government yesterday released an MFP program 2.0 for this 2019 growing season, though there are scant few details other than it'll be $16 billion, $14.5 billion are expected to go towards commodity crops. And there are some variabilities in that. The United States Department of Agriculture has been insistent that this particular MFP program should not impact the decisions that producers are making as it's related to planting. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture was on Chip Flory's show. It's called AgriTalk. That's up on a podcast right now if you want to search it out. And Chip asked him whether this MFP payment should factor into the decisions that producers are making about prevented planting.
Well, I think they should make their decisions based on if there were no program at all, because certainly we have not disclosed details that would distort planting intentions for intentional purposes, because we always want our producers to plant for the market, not for government programs, whether they be farm bill programs or safety nets or other or something like this. So what we're saying is you make your decision based on the weather and the markets and do what you're going to do regardless of any kind of government program. We're hoping that would be the case. I would advise people not to sit back and take prevented plant because I think we're going to look at those acres to be covered under the safety net of the Farm Bill and the those provisions rather than any kind of provisions in this MFP program.
That was U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue, recorded this morning with Chip Flory on the AgriTalk program. You'll note that he says in the very same sentence not to pay attention to the MFP when making the prevented plant decision, but that he also advises against taking the prevented planted option of your RP or crop insurance policies. I talked to Gary Schnitke earlier today as well, and we'll air the whole of this interview on Monday during the closing market report. Frankly, it's Memorial Day, and I need it there in order to have a show. So I'm just going to play a little part of it and how Gary sees the MFP in the prevented planting program.
Yeah, so you would, and again, we probably won't have the details of what that payment rate per acre will look like, but yes, you should include, you calculate what your prevented planting payment is, you calculate what you expect to receive from planting corn, and add $50 or so to it for the MFP payment. And again, I don't know what that MFP...
Again, that's a total guess. We have no idea what that payment's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, the $50 sort of comes from you got last year and divided out across the acres, so that there was more money this year, but who knows what it's going to be.
So Gary says you really do need to factor in the MFP payment, and you can use the baseline at $50. He does the math, or at least he made me do the math, and said, so if you have 200 bushel the acre corn, and that's what you expect to harvest, he gave me an easy math problem, and you divide it by $50, well, that's 25 cents a bushel. You can just drop that into the little spreadsheet that we've talked about earlier and that's up on the Farm Doc Daily website and start to make some decisions about prevent plant later on. You don't have to do that this week unless, of course, you live in parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota, Kansas, and Nebraska. On this Friday afternoon, Eric Snodgrass joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He's with Agrible. Hey, Eric, thanks so much. Farmers want to know how much rain, where, and for how long?
Yeah, well, that's the big question. That's the billion-dollar question. We've been very wet across the Corn Belt and across parts of the South Central United States, as you know, for the last about 8 to 10 days. Because of that, we've had quite a bit of severe weather just in the last week, nearly 1,700 reports of severe weather. In fact, we got rocked pretty good here in Central Illinois just a couple nights ago. I saw the giant tree to get cleaned up in my yard. But the thing is that, you know, are we still seeing the persistence of this wet pattern, which has been favoring a giant ridge over the southeastern United States and a trough over the West Coast. And that pattern is one that just funnels Gulf moisture into us. And I feel like, you know, I feel like you and I've been talking about this now for what feels like weeks. All right. So here's what I see coming up in the near term. We're still dealing with this, and we're going to deal with a very pesky boundary, a front that's going to drape right across Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, you know, that area, once we get past Friday into the weekend. So our chances for precip through the weekend increase. We're watching two major storm systems next week as well. So we're not shaking that big southeastern ridge and the Four Corners trough. And whenever we have that pattern, we're just wet. We're not going to probably get rid of that until we get into the beginning, I'd say the middle of the first week of June, where I start to see things finally breaking down. And meanwhile, just so you know, I was in South Carolina yesterday and Virginia the day before that. And that's a little corridor right there where they do grow a lot of corn and soybeans and a bunch of other stuff. And those farmers aren't planting anything because their soil temperatures are so hot and it's been so dry for them that to put a bean in the ground at 95 degrees Fahrenheit outside is not a good idea. So they're shut down down there as well. And the flooding in the middle part of the country is just something that we're just not seeing going away. So this morning's model runs, next 10 days, there's not a dry spot in the Corn Belt, according to the next 10-day forecast by the best global models we have. So I think we're going to have to wait until that first week of June before I start to see the ridge over the southeast flatten out, slide east. Here's the problem, though. When that happens and it slides over towards Texas a little bit, unless it builds way north, I'm talking north up into North Dakota, we still have that ring of fire precipitation configuration. So it's going to be a little drier than it is right now, but still, I was telling a farmer this morning, still wetter than average, even though we're backing off a little bit on the rainfall.
What do our temperatures look like through the period?
Yeah, well, the good thing is for the southern and eastern part of the Corn Belt, we're going to be on the warmer side of things. Parts of the northern Corn Belt are still on the cold side of this. But overall, temperatures do moderate once we get toward the end of the month. And honestly, by the time we start June, it's really hard to get us, you know, back cold again. So we're going to see a lot of 70s and 80s right around here in central Illinois. Not so much, I don't see any of the days in the forecast where we have those highs, but that are in the low 60s like we had seen in the last couple of weeks when we get on the wrong side of the front. So our temperatures are at least going to stay in this part of the country, you know, warm, which you'd think would help with evaporation, but we got to get windy and we got to get low humidity, and we're not going to have those two things together.
You know, we've been concentrating so much on the Midwest, I've not checked on the rest of the Northern Hemisphere for a long while. What's it look like?
Well, the Canadian prairies are actually getting onto a bit of a drier time period, which they would need to get things going there as well, though they got storms coming in today. Heading over to Europe, Europe spent much of the last 30 days or so with a cool, wet pattern, and that does extend over to the Black Sea region. But they've not been nearly as wet in such a large area as we have. So that's why you're not hearing much story out of that area. China's major growing regions, the north, especially the north, you know, just east of like Mongolia, that really productive land there, they've been wet too, but not, again, not like we have been wet. So you'd call that a bit more favorable spring weather. About the only other place which is important would be India. And India has been incredibly hot. But, you know, India on the global markets is a different story than China, Europe, and parts of, you know, Indonesia and places like that. So we'll keep an eye on all of it, and we'll just keep talking about it through the summer.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.